My family had a good life, at least most of the time. Mama, me, and Maxwell, and our dad, who we saw sometimes.
Valerie Iyer has thick, long brown hair and big, soulful brown eyes. The 11-year-old has a polite, soft-spoken, yet confident demeanor. She's teary as she reads from the book titled, Why Did We Have to Say Goodbye? It's the first time she's read it all the way through out loud. It's made more difficult by her tendency to stutter. Her adoptive parents, Gwen and Glenn, watch on. They're crying too.
Her dad was loud and sometimes rough. He did not want to play. Mama said be nice to him. Don't make him go away. I think that Max was scared sometimes. And sometimes I was too.
This book is about a tragic event. Valerie's brother Maxwell died from an injury he sustained from his biological father. Valerie was only 4 when it happened. Gwen explains.
One night, he was there on a visit and the dad pushed him very hard. Never was it really clear. It appears that there was some anger involved. He pushed him hard enough to cause an injury similar to shaken baby syndrome.
Johnny Garcia is now serving a 44-year prison sentence at Menard Correctional Center for his crime. Gwen says it's not known whether Valerie was also physically harmed.
To my knowledge, she's never said that she witnessed, that she was there even. We don't know that she was even there that night. We haven't gotten all the information about it, and I don't know that we ever will.
Gwen and Glenn started adopting children in the mid-80s. They have 5 in all. Gwen's involvement with foster care and adoption ultimately led her to work with the Department of Children and Family Services, where she currently is a foster parent law compliance manager. One of Gwen's adopted children is Valerie's biological mother. She says after Valerie and Maxwell were born, she was worried something like this could happen. It was clear her daughter, their mom, did not have a stable lifestyle. That the violence baby Maxwell was victim to was not a well-kept secret.
There was some risk that we'd identified. The dad had been in trouble legally, and mom had been hospitalized for injuries. But I think so often when women get involved in domestic violence situations, they can't get out. They don't see a way to leave. She kept going back, and even at this point, she was not living with the birth father. There was a repeated history of abuse, we think. We often encouraged her to take Max to the doctor. She did, many times. And as a result, the doctor did lose her license for not reporting. You know, we hold the mother really accountable, but to me, the doctor should be held accountable. She only lost her license for a year, but she did lose her license. And in theory, at least, has been trained and better equipped to identify the next time. But the department evidently asked her, were the kids at risk? And she said she had not identified any risk as a doctor. So many different steps, you know, so many people trying to do the right thing, and yet none of us could really help him.
Since the book was published, Valerie has been busy signing copies and talking to the media. The project started as a life book, something used as part of therapy for children, especially those who have been adopted or are in foster care. It is meant to help them retain connections and map out their past. Gwen helped gather pictures for Valerie, including those of her biological father and brother. Gwen says in order to be therapeutic, the book needed to be realistic, to include the good and the bad. And while all this has gotten Valerie much attention for a traumatic experience in her past, it's not the only thing that defines the young girl.
I'm 11.
You're 11? What school do you go to?
Illinois School for the Deaf.
And where do you live?
Jacksonville, Illinois.
And what kind of things do you like to do?
To play an instrument called the mountain dulcimer. I like to ride horses. And I like to read books.
Valerie takes a moment to play her dulcimer at the bed and breakfast she lives at with her parents in Jacksonville. She jokes about it being out of tune, something she can still notice even though she is partially deaf. Her hearing aids are a help.
You should hear it when it is in tune.
Yeah, sound a little different?
Yeah.
Valerie has Usher syndrome, a leading cause of deaf blindness, but this too has yet to keep her down. Valerie tells me someday she'd like to run a bed and breakfast herself.
Kids need meeting all kinds of interesting and new people. We even had a guest from Germany. She stayed for about a month.
Valerie, her mom, and I head downtown where Valerie has regular meetings with a counselor. Meg Lorton comes and greets us in the waiting room of the counseling center. She's wearing neutral color clothing. Her shoulder-length blonde hair is down. She takes us back to her office, a cozy room meant to be made comfortable with a couch and a homey feel. Lorton says when she first went through the book Valerie and her mom put together, she knew she wanted a copy for other patients. She thinks Valerie's story comes with an important message for those affected by domestic violence.
You are not alone. Others have survived and went on to be very happy, satisfied with life again. Those feelings at that moment when you're going through it, you feel like there's a loss of hope.
Lorton says not just any child in this situation would be so willing to share their story.
This was not something that happened overnight. This has been a process since the initial experience. I think it's so valuable for her to be able to even want to share this, even to sit here in an interview process and say, okay, I'm opening up myself to help others.
I ask Gwen who she credits with Valerie's ability to face the challenges that have come her way, things that would leave many depressed and bitter. How can a young child have decided she wants to help others by sharing a story that brings her such pain?
We have that faith, I think, that protects us, but also supports us. It's a sad, sad story. It's an awful story. The hope is very important to us that we are Christians, that we've accepted the Lord as our Savior, and that we will be reunited in heaven one day, and we have that hope.
It's the hope that life can get better, that being a victim of domestic violence does not have to define an individual or a family, but a reminder, too, that it's always okay to remember and to honor the lives of those who have been lost. For Valerie, that includes sharing her story in order to prevent future atrocities.
There's two different messages, one for kids and one for adults.
Okay, you want to tell me about the one for kids first?
That message would be when you see someone hurting someone small, you should go for help.
And then what's the message for adults?
Think twice before possibly harming your kids. I just hope no one else will have to go through this again.
For Valerie, it's that simple. I'm Rachel Otwell.